the pastors of Trinity, and it is good to see you. I hope during the service this morning that you'll take a moment and find the connection card in your bulletin and fill that out for us. Even if you're here all the time, if you'll just give us your name and your email, it's a great way for us to get connected and stay connected with you, and we sure do appreciate it. Later in the service, when the offering plates come by, you can either put it in the offering plate or you can hand it to one of the ushers. And again, that helps us to be able to know that you are here. This morning also, let me share with you about our mission boxes. Each week, Trinity offers a gift to an organization in the community or a ministry that is uniquely a part of Trinity. And so the mission boxes for this morning go toward the Friends of Micanopy Library. And this is an organization that helps UF students get connected with kids in that community to offer much-needed tutoring and literacy skills. And so we sure appreciate your gifts this morning toward the Friends of Micanopy Library. Tomorrow also starts the beginning of Advent, and we will be adorning this space late afternoon and evening tomorrow. So take a look in the bulletin for the times, and we invite you to come and participate if you would like. And then next Sunday, we begin the 4 Sundays of Advent, and we'll be focused on Once Upon a Holy Night, using phrases from that beautiful song, O Holy Night, as we move through Advent and approach Christmas. Advent's a great time for you to invite a friend to come to worship with you. That can have a tremendous impact on your friends and neighbors, those who don't have a church home, as they might come to explore faith and what it means to follow Christ. So please be mindful of that and invite a friend to come to worship with you this Advent. Because what we hope is that as others come, they will find a place at Trinity that feels like home, and that they will come to make their home in Christ. And so this morning, I invite you to respond with me as we do each week. Welcome home. And now let me invite you to stand up and please introduce yourself to someone. Find somebody you don't know and say hello this morning, and then say hello to those you do know as well.
Please remain standing and join us as we sing.
Praise the one who breaks the darkness with a liberating light. Praise the one who frees the prisoner, turning blindness into sight. Praise the one who preaches the gospel, healing every dread disease.
gracious God, we do come to bring our praise to you, the one who has created and has redeemed and sustains us through all of life by your gift and your presence. And as we worship today, we pray that your Spirit might move among us, making us ready to receive your word for our lives on this day and ready to go out and implement it in the world around us. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Would you join me this morning in affirming our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you find on the screens before you? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Today, as we take time to pray together, I invite you to keep in mind the persons who are a part of our church community who are hospitalized or in need of specialized care. You see a few names on the screens who are receiving care from our visitation team and from the pastors. I'm sure there are others that are on your own minds that you want to remember as well. And on this Sunday after Thanksgiving, I encourage us all to take a moment in the silence and reflect on gratitude and the good things that God brings into our lives. Today, being the Sunday before the beginning of Advent, means that in the Christian year and in the Christian calendar, this is always the Sunday known as Christ the King Sunday. And so in our prayers this morning, you'll hear that idea reflected in what I offer for us together. Let's pray. Loving God, you are good and gracious and abounding in faithfulness to your children in all places and all times. We thank you on this weekend as we reflect on the blessings for which we might express gratitude. For food on tables, for roofs over our heads, for transportation that takes us to work and to school, to church, and on visits to family and friends. For all the ways in which you make life an opportunity for us to enjoy your blessings, we give you thanks. And we pray also this morning for those who are sick and suffering, for those who are in despair and a little brokenhearted. We ask your special blessing on them. And we ask that our eyes might be open to ways in which we can be a part of bringing hope to others. We especially pray today that through your Son, Jesus Christ, you might come and reign in our hearts and in our lives. that we would welcome your rule in all of our lives, in every aspect of what we say and what we do, that you would come in and cast out fear, replacing it with hope, that you would cast out hatred and replace it with your love, that you would cast out the broken parts and woo us toward wholeness in you. And as we seek to wrap our lives around the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray once again as he taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all thou to me, save that thou art. O Lord, Lord, my day or my night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I am with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou only first in my heart. Great God of heaven, my treasure thou art. Great God of heaven, my victory won.
With Christ as our visioning eyes, the church seeks to live and to be who it is that we are called to be. And one of the ways in which we are enabled to do that is through the gifts that we bring and the worship that become a part of facilitating and funding ministry. This morning, I invite you to join me in a prayer over the gifts that we'll receive here today. Good and gracious God, in your abundance, you provide so richly for our well-being. And we pray today that you might take what we offer and use it in ways that provide out of your abundance for hope and for transformation to be made possible in the lives of your children, not only ours, but in our community and in our world. We pray these things through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Come to the Lord, come to the Lord.
especially grateful for the opportunity to have Aaron home for just a couple days from his current training in the Navy. As we've looked at the sacraments last week and this week, last week Steve preached on the Eucharist, which is the sacred meal in which the church, as often as we are able to, gathers around the Lord's table and gives thanks. This week, I have the privilege of tackling baptism with you. We have two sacraments, the Eucharist and baptism, and we're going to explore baptism. And I know for many of you, this is a topic that you are already familiar with, because it is a central part of the Christian journey and has been ever since the beginning. So much so that Mark begins his gospel with John calling people to be baptized in the desert. And he tells that story this way in chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. He writes, "John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. He wore clothes made of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, 'One stronger than I am is coming after me. I am not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The word of God for us, the people of God, and God's people, say thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord of new beginnings, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that as the scripture is read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. So as Methodists, there is much we believe is going on in the waters of our baptism, but we didn't create these beliefs on our own, nor did we come up with them in a vacuum. They're actually deeply rooted in the early life of the church and in Scripture. And the concept of baptism, although it is truly a Christian experience, it goes before that. It actually wasn't created by the early church. It was rooted in Judaism and the concept of mikvah. A mikvah was understood to be a holy ceremonial cleansing, a bath of sorts. Beginning in Leviticus and throughout the Old Testament, mikvahs were prescribed as a way of preparing to present oneself before the Lord. What's more, they serve as a reminder to God's people of the way he freed the Israelites from slavery in Egypt, leading them through the Red Sea into freedom, and then journeyed with them in the wilderness, and then led them through the Jordan to the Promised Land. And that's why John's baptisms were so significant, because they served as a sacred sign, paving the way for the Jewish people to prepare themselves to encounter the Messiah by ceremonially cleansing themselves in a mikvah. John was calling people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and their lives, and that they truly wanted to experience God's forgiveness. John's baptism was one of water. The baptism that Jesus was going to offer was going to be so much more than a mikvah, so much more than just a holy bath, for it would be one of water and the Spirit. It was meant to be literally life-changing. And that's precisely why the early church took this ritual so seriously. And by the end of the first century, most baptisms occurred only at Easter, on Easter Sunday morning. And this was only after new believers had gone through what was called catechesis. It was a three-year series of study and classes, learning the scriptures and understanding the traditions of the faith at that time. And when they would get to the end of that three-year period, we have something similar in confirmation classes or our new members class. It's just not nearly as long. they would get to the end of this period of classes, and as the church was headed into Lent, those that were in the graduating class of catechesis were asked, are you ready? Do you want to be baptized? And if they raised their hand and said, yes, I am ready, I want to be baptized, then they experienced Lent in a very unique way. They would go 40 days without a bath. Yeah, 40 days without a bath. This was to capture what Jude wrote about, that our sin sinks to high heaven. Well, they wanted to experience it, and so they literally would be smelled coming and going. And the dirt, when it accumulates like that, it gets so itchy, and so they often had sores and sometimes worse going on with their skin. And so as you can imagine, by the time Easter morning came, when they entered into those baptismal waters, it was so much more than a bath. It was. It was a source of true healing and restoration and renewal, internally, yes, and externally as well. And they would do this by going into the catacombs. The catacombs were the places where they usually would bury the dead at that time. And most of them had pools of fresh water for ceremonial cleansing. And so they took on this practice of, in the dark, one by one, they would go in with only the priest by their side, stinky and dirty. And they would go in with the priest in the dark. And they did this to go to the catacombs to capture what Paul wrote about in Romans chapter 6. He wrote, don't you know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried together with him through baptism into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too can walk in newness of life. So not only were the baptized going into the catacombs representing dying and rising with Christ, but they also believed that if they came up out of those baptismal waters, they were doing so as a new creation. And this concept is rooted in John's Gospel, when Jesus was having a conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus asked, how can I enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus responds by saying, I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. Now, as you can tell, the early church loved to incorporate these tangible experiences to capture spiritual reality. And so just as we bring nothing into this world when we are born, and we take nothing with us when we die, so too the early Christians would enter into the baptismal pool with nothing. Yes, I mean nothing. They went in totally naked. And so granted, it was dark, and they were only there with the priest. But I got to tell you, I for one am really, really glad we let go of those particular practices. Because I love y'all and all, but I would not want to go into the dark catacombs with you stinking 40 days worth of stink to baptize you naked. We often talk about wanting to get back to the early days of the church and live life like the early church did. But I'm grateful in some ways that we don't, because we came to the theological understanding that it's really not about what we are doing in our baptism. It's all about what God is doing in and through us. And that is what makes baptism so transformational. So, getting back to how the early church experienced baptism, once they were in these waters, the priest would generally fully immerse them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We still do that today when we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It comes from Jesus' final instructions in the Gospel of Matthew, what we call the Great Commission. And then the newly baptized person would come up out of that baptismal pool of water, and they would be given brand new white robe or a tunic. This represented their new life that they were putting on in Christ, and kind of captured what Paul wrote about to the Galatians. In chapter 3, he writes, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Now, there were a few other key themes that the early church believed was happening in those baptismal waters that we still hold on to today. One of those being that while they were in the baptismal waters, as the priest laid hands on them and prayed over them, that the Holy Spirit was being poured out upon that person and coming to take up residency in that person. And as the Holy Spirit came to dwell in them, just as God dwelled with God's people in the tabernacle in the wilderness, God did so in ways that gifted that person to serve both the body of Christ, the church, and the world in their own unique way. And then, when they did come up out of those waters, they were welcomed into the body of Christ, into the church. In fact, while all of this was going on, the congregation would be outside the catacombs, singing and praising God, praying for the person being baptized, just waiting for that glimpse of the white clothes that they were coming out of the tomb. And as soon as they did, they would have acclamations and affirmations and words of celebration that welcomed that person into the life of the church, into the body of Christ. And as they said these things to them, they knew that they were remembering their own baptisms and being reminded to also respond to God's grace and continue to grow in that grace. You know, we do the same thing still today. We baptize infants, and even though they have no clue what's going on, we know what's going on, and we make a commitment to those infants, to those children, to raise them in the faith until they can claim it for And as we say those words in response to our baptized, we too have an opportunity to recommit ourselves to living into our baptism. You know, in preparation for today's message, I asked Carmen, who's done some of our record keeping over the years, to look up how many baptisms we have had here at Trinity, or at least recorded at Trinity since its inception. Anybody have a guess? How many? Nobody has tried to respond to this question, and that's okay. 1,250 is what we have recorded. And I thought it was odd. It was an even number, but I'll take it. 1,250. And one of the most recent baptisms that we did was for a gentleman named Alex Ashodian. Now, he came to our church for the very first time in his entire life to come to a church service this past summer. And once he came, between that time and mid-October when he was baptized, he didn't miss a single Sunday or a Wednesday night worship service. He showed up at every Bible study that he could. He participated in my holy yoga and even helped me lead holy yoga because he's a certified yoga instructor. And he signed up for Disciples Path, which is our new members class. And at the end of that class, as we were wrapping up that series, I asked him, "Do you want to be baptized and become a member?" And he enthusiastically was, "Oh, yeses. Yes, yes, yes." He couldn't wait to become a member, but he was so excited about his upcoming baptism. And we talked about the options. You can be immersed, fully immersed. You can be poured on, or we can sprinkle water on your head. What we do here most of the time is sprinkle water on an infant's head or even whoever we're baptizing here in the worship center. We can do all of those things, though, because, again, it's not about what we're doing. It's about what God is doing in that moment. So it doesn't matter how much water you have. It's about God's grace. So he could choose from any of those. He prayed about it. He wanted to be poured on. That's what he decided. I want to be poured on, but not just once. I want to be poured on three times in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can we do that? Absolutely, we can do that. But not so much here in the worship center, maybe. So we decided to do his baptism at the end of a Wednesday night service, outside of the chapel area where there's the grass there, so I could pour the water over him and it would go into the earth and it would be a beautiful thing. And the date that we picked for that was October the 10th. And I'm not sure if you remember, but that turned out to be the same night that Hurricane Michael decided to sweep through Florida. And thankfully for us, it was a very mild experience of that year. So we didn't cancel worship services. And I asked him, do you want to reschedule? He did not want to reschedule. But we did decide to rethink the whole standing in the grass in potentially rainy and very windy weather with the congregation to do his baptism. So he went out and got a baby pool so that we could be on the covered porch and I could pour water over him without soaking everyone else. Here's a picture of him kneeling in the baby pool, answering the questions, our historical questions about our faith. And then the next picture is me pouring that water over him. You can see the other two buckets there. They were quite big. And then the next picture you see, I'm standing there with my arm around him. I prayed over him and prayed for the Holy Spirit to fill his life and to gift him to serve in the church. And the congregation was standing there. You can't see much of them in this picture, but they were all standing there ready with our words of affirmation and celebration. It was an awesome, awesome night. He had spent his whole life not knowing the goodness and love of God's grace and salvation that's made available in Jesus Christ to all of us. And the joy that he had in that moment of being baptized literally radiated from him. It was like he was glowing with God's joy. And as I was pouring the water over him, which is the first time I've ever had an opportunity to do that kind of a baptism, I was just reminded of the ways that God's love and grace pour out over each and every one of us in our baptism, but beyond our baptism, each and every day. God's grace is always pursuing us, even when we don't know we need it. We call that in Methodism prevenient grace. Grace that goes before us. And God's love and grace are always being poured out upon us, cleansing us, forgiving us, justifying us in Christ so that we can continue to grow and become who we were created to be. As we celebrated Alex's baptism that night, there was a palpable sense of the Holy Spirit among all of us who were there. And we were all reminded of the miracle of God's saving love and the miracle of our own baptism. Which brings me to an important point about baptism and what we believe as Methodists. We believe that in baptism, it really is about what God is doing in us. And so no matter how far we stray or wander away from our identity in Christ, God gets it right the first time. It is complete, whether you are an infant or an adult. At the moment of your baptism, it is done. And we also acknowledge that although God's grace has done all that is necessary, there are many times in our lives where we do walk away from that identity, and we need to be reminded. And so, we have an opportunity as often as we need it or desire it to remember our baptism. Now, I know that many of you were baptized as infants. And so if I say to you, remember your baptism, you're thinking, I can't possibly remember my baptism. I was like 2 months old. And even if I could, from an infant's perspective, it might be something like the meme that Marion Boyle sent to me this week when she knew I was going to be preaching on baptism. She sent me the following picture. It says, so today at church, a guy in a suit tried to drown me. And I kid you not, my family just stood there taking pictures. If if you were to remember it from an infant's perspective, that might be how you remember it. It would probably be something other than a holy, sacred moment for you from your perspective, even though it was all of those things. The point of remembering our baptism isn't about remembering the details or who was there at all. It's about remembering all that it signifies in our lives and all that God has already done in and for us. And I don't know about you, but there are plenty of days in my Christian walk that I need to be reminded of who I am in Christ. I need to be reminded that I have died to sin and risen with Christ, forgiven and cleansed, that I have been reborn as a new creation, that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on me and lives in me whether I feel it or not. The Holy Spirit is still present, and the Holy Spirit empowers and gifts me to serve the church and the world in ways that only I can. And what's more, on those times when I feel least worthy and sometimes least welcome in the church, remembering my baptism reminds me that I have a place in the body of Christ. I have a place in God's church, not because of who I am, but because of what Christ has already done for me. And the same is true for each. Every time we baptize someone, we have an opportunity to remember all of this and more. But the truth is, we don't have to wait until those holy moments within the sacred life of our community to remember our baptism. Every time we bathe, which is hopefully more often than every 40 days, every time you bathe, you have an opportunity for it to be more than a bath. It can be a sacred opportunity to encounter God's presence and remember who you are in Christ. You are a child of God in whom God is well pleased. There's another truth in all of this, though. Although baptism is all about the work of God's grace in and for us, there is our own role in it, and that is us responding to God's grace and love in ways that we live into our baptism and continually grow in our faith and allow God to renew and change and transform us so that the world around us changes and is transformed based on the state of our world and the church universal. I would say that we all, and by all I mean we all, could stand to remember our baptisms and to live into them with greater clarity each and every day. Think about it. As we head into Advent, how many people do you encounter in your daily life, like Alex, who had no clue about how amazing God's love and grace really are? Advent is meant to be a time of preparation, preparing our hearts and our homes and our lives to celebrate the coming of Christ. This Advent, I'm challenging you to not just prepare heart and home on the outside, but to remember your baptism each and every day, and to do so in ways that allow the light of Christ to be lived out in you, the light that came to bring the world hope and joy and peace and love. To help you with this week as you leave, you'll have an opportunity to take as many of these as you need. They're a shower tag. They're actually a luggage tag that I created to be a shower tag, but they're plastic, and you can use them in your bathroom. You can take as many as you would like for your household. And what they say on them is, "Lord, as I enter the water to bathe, I remember my baptism. That having died and risen with Christ, I have been reborn as a new creation, filled with your Spirit, welcomed into your church and gifted to serve. Renew my soul so that I might live as your child today and honor you in all I do. There are also four stations with small bowls of water. And as you leave today, I invite you to take your fingers and dip them into the water to remember your baptism. If you want to, you can take that water and just place it on your forehead. You could make the sign of the cross on your forehead. Or you could embrace an ancient tradition that the Catholics still use today using the form of the cruciform. You could cover your mind and your heart and all that you do in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. However you decide to remember your baptism, I hope that you will do it and to be thankful for them. And that by remembering them, you will allow God's love and grace to continue to work in you, changing you, renewing you, transforming you from the inside outward. And if you've not ever been baptized, and you're sitting there today thinking, oh, I want to do this, then during communion, come and talk to any one of us as pastors, and we will be glad to baptize you today before you go, or whenever you desire. However it is that we go about remembering our baptisms, may you know that you were created in God's image to bear God's image in the world, to mirror God's goodness and grace like only you can. May you remember your baptism and may you be thankful. Steve's going to play and sing our prayer as the closing prayer for this sermon, and as he does, my hope is that you will sense Holy Spirit washing over you again and again, renewing your soul, and helping you live into your baptism by God's grace. May it be so. Amen.
Reach up, pull the boy up from the water. Hallelujah's rose from the bay. There was a new suit of clothes from his father, and a prayer of thanks. The boy walked barefoot all the way home for dinner, and when they laughed at his muddy feet, he said, I've been through the water and I've come out clean. Got new clothes to cover me, and you don't wear your old shoes on your brand new feet when you've been through the water. Preacher, turn them round at the altar. Pronounce the boy and his girl man and wife. In 2 years they were mother and father, and they built them a life. Well, his old girlfriend saw a moment of weakness. She said, if you're lonely, come see me sometime. Said, I've been through the water and I've come out clean. Got new clothes to cover me, and you don't wear your old shoes on your brand new feet when you've been through the water. body's pain. The boy asked if he's ever been to heaven. He says no, but I think I know the way. As I've been through the water,
to this table and we give thanks. We give thanks to God, creator of heaven and earth. And we remember that nothing else existed but chaos. The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And then God brought forth life. And God created each one of us and breathed the breath of life into us. But God's love remained steadfast. In the fullness of time, God came in Jesus Christ in the water of a womb. And as Jesus began his public ministry, after spending 40 days in the wilderness, he came to John the Baptist and asked to be baptized. And as he was baptized, as the water was poured over him, the Spirit of God came down. And the voice of God said, "This is my beloved. This is my son, with whom I am well pleased." And Jesus poured out love and grace on all that he met. He opened his arms wide to welcome. He shared meals with those who were unworthy. He healed all those who were sick and brokenhearted. And through the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, he gave birth to the church. And before he ascended to be with God, he said that the Holy Spirit was coming and would be with each one of us, be present with us, and strengthen us always. And so we come to this table, and we offer ourselves as those who have been through the water and are a new creation in Christ. We remember that on the night before he died, before he gave himself up for us, he took a towel and he wrapped it around his waist and he leaned over and he washed the feet of each of his disciples, offering them love and commanding us to do likewise. And he took a loaf of bread and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, And again, he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to the disciples. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for me, for the forgiveness of sin, so that we might be new creations in Christ. Let's pray together. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed and made new by his precious blood. Pour out your Holy Spirit, O God, and be with us and strengthen us so that we can be one with you, one with Christ, and one in ministry to all the world until you come again in Jesus Christ and we feast at your heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come and receive the elements. As Lenora said this morning, if you have not been baptized and you seek to commit your life to being a follower, then we invite you just to share that with one of us as the pastors, and we'd be happy to baptize you during this service today or to have a conversation with you about doing it at a future time as well, whatever would be better for you. This morning as you come to the table, we remind you that the table is an open table. It's the table of Christ who welcomes all, for all who seek to follow that. So we invite you to come to the station in front of your section, cup your hands to receive a piece of bread. You can take that bread and dip it into the cup and then return to your seat by the other side. You're also welcome to spend as much time as you like in prayer, either before or after communion. And there's gluten-free available at the far side. Just ask the servers on the side and we would be happy to give it for you. Please come. Everything's ready.
Thank you.
together. Oh, good and gracious God, we give you thanks for this holy meal, this mystery in which you have given yourself to us. May it strengthen us and nourish us to go out into the world and to be new creations in Christ, sharing love and grace with others as you have called us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. And every one of you was created by a God who is crazy about you, who calls you God's beloved, in whom God is well pleased. And so may you go from here and take as many luggage tags as you need that have now become bath tags, shower tags. They've been reformed, reborn as something new. Take those and remember your baptism. Touch the water and remember your baptism and be thankful. May you go.